Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Roger Weiss and Francis Beck. Tom Prince is on the line. We're going to talk to him in a little bit. We have a studio filled with Bishop Tyman players. We're going to talk to them and Coach Licata. That's coming up in the second segment. A lot to talk about today. We are full-blown. Well, actually, now we're towards the end. And we've had one team already reach the finals for the second year in a row. Ready to go. Cheese, sausage, pepperoni. We are so proud of you guys. Beaten tight. What? Raj, why are you? Oh, by the way, happy birthday, belated birthday to Roger Weiss. What's up, young man?
When they ask me how old I am, I say I am, you know, in honor of Abraham Lincoln, who I still think of very highly. I just tell him.
You covered his inauguration, didn't you?
I was at the station when the train went by, but I wasn't at the inauguration.
Okay.
Why do you make me any older? Why do you do that?
Well, because you said you're older than, you're almost as old as Dirt, but Dirt was born just ahead of you.
Dirt and I were twins. Dirt was 8 minutes older.
Yeah, so.
You happy now?
Yes, I'm happy.
But when people ask me how old I am, I just tell them, 4 score minus 7.
Well, happy birthday, buddy. Hopefully you had a lovely birthday. In fact,
hey, at this stage of my life, every birthday above ground is a good one.
Did you do Did you do anything special?
Went to Denny's.
Free
breakfast at Denny's on your birthday.
I like that. Not bad. All right, let's get into news and notes. So before we start talking about the games, Francis, you're going to kick it off today with news and notes, and we have a big event coming up. What is it? A week from Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, December 3rd is the college football recruiting night. That's at New Era Field from 6 to 8 p.m. This event is conducted to help expose quality area juniors and seniors to as many college football's coaches as possible in a casual and convenient setting. The event will provide an outstanding opportunity for college moments to meet with our junior and senior athletes and parents and discuss a wide variety of recruiting and financial issues. And I have another news and note. This one's from Wilson.
Okay.
Do you think they had a pretty good fall season?
I think so.
You're wrong, Tony. They had a fantastic fall season.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that.
Every team made the New York State Scholar Athlete Award. They had 22 All-Western New York Scholar Athletes. 58 athletes had perfect attendance, 2 league titles, 2 sectional runner-up, and they raised over $2,400 towards breast cancer research.
Wow. That's outstanding.
Isn't that kind of overdoing it?
No, it's not. That's the kind of stuff I like to hear about. That's fantastic. Congratulations to the Wilson community. All right, I'm going to throw in my G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to lifefit.com. Who do you think should be Coach of the Week and why? Congratulations to Canisius head coach Rich Robbins on winning the large school Monsignor Martin Association title. In fact,
Tony, it looks like the way you're doing it, you're going to ask them who they thought the Coach of the Week should be.
No. I'm sorry. First of all, forgive me. I'm a bit under the weather. And trying to focus, it's difficult. You know, when you just don't feel good and your eyes hurt and everything else hurts. So I'm just trying to get through it. I'm sorry. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to give an honorable mention. I'm glad you mentioned the coach of the week, Rich Scrabuha. He is the cross-country and track coach at Narden. Mm-hmm. Before that, he was a cross-country and track coach at Olmsted, formerly Kensington.
Right.
And he was very successful there. Left Olmsted, moved over to Narden. Number one, they won whatever federation meet was in Western New York, as their whole team is running in the federation championship downstate this afternoon. And also, you might recall, it was either a year or two ago, I talked about two twin girls that went to Narden. One of them went to Cornell. The other one went to, I forget which Ivy League school is. Well, Gabrielle Ori, the one at Cornell, is leading them in the NCAA cross-country berth. Plus, both these, well, Cornell and the Ivy League, that ought to tell you right there. And all this, it just, Narden didn't seem to come on board with the cross-country prowess until, coincidentally, you know, Rick Scrabuha went over there. And I just want to give a shout to him. I know he's probably not listening. He's a little busy downstate, but I hope word gets out to him. And he's definitely an honorable mention for the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week.
Very cool. By the way, thank you, Roger, for coming out to our rally to save youth football that NASA put on at the Wurlitzer building. And first of all, let me get your thoughts on it.
Well, again, Tony, I'm still blown away. You know, what possible studies do they have that kids that only played sandlot football, you know, NASA football, even at the, modified and JV and varsity high school level, how many of them have they done studies on after they died about brain injuries and all that? Where is all this stuff coming from? And, again, you know, these people are going to go in, if they do want to play football, and we can finally play now, we're in high school, or at least middle school, they are going to be so far behind, and it's just going to be, it's trickle down, and it's only going to make high school football all that much more behind the rest of the states. Do you think,
Not to mention the amount that's going to come out to play football.
Not only that, too, and everybody says, well, you know what? If New York does this, other states are going to follow. I'll believe Pennsylvania and Ohio are going to drop early football.
Never going to happen.
I'll believe Texas is going to drop early football and all these Florida. Are you kidding me?
No.
And they expect us people to eat this stuff up? I'm sorry. That's why I went out to North Tonawanda, and that's a hike, especially during rush hour going from the south towns to the north towns. There's just no shortcut any way you look at it. But I was bound and determined to be there, and I'm glad I was. I'm really glad you emphasized that to me. And anything I can do, the only thing that scared me the other day after we heard on Monday that Robin Schimminger is behind this, behind not accepting this and all that, and then 2 days later I hear he's not going to run for re-election. I hope they don't drag this out. Well, you know, I hope this is taken care of while he's still in office.
Yeah, good point. Let's say good morning to Tom Prince. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you? Tony, how are you?
I've had better days, Tom. I'm a bit under the weather, but with the help of Roger and Francis, we're going to get through this. How's your ride? Are you still en route?
No, I called the game last night, so I'm still here in Syracuse. Here in Syracuse last night.
All right, first of all, start off by telling us about that game. We started off saying congratulations to Clymer Sherman Panama on reaching the state finals for the second year in a row.
Yeah, fantastic game. I thought it was the tale of two halves. The first half, it was all Tioga. They had two plays. They pretty much ran almost exclusively all game. First of all, the running back was a bruiser. This guy has averaged 200 yards a game, and you saw it the way they came out. Anytime he ran to the outside, it was a huge run. And he had, at the end of the first quarter, he had over 100 yards and two touchdowns at the end of the first quarter.
Wow!
He came out unbelievable. But I thought was the difference in the game was the first half to the second half and the adjustments that CSP made. What I loved the most was they had this quarterback, Tioga had this quarterback, where he would get so low that the top of his helmet would barely come over the offensive line. So he was very hard to pick up. And then what he would do was he would actually do this fake handoff to the fullback up the middle, and you saw the defensive line converge on the fullback, and he would do a little turnaround as a quarterback keeper and then find a gap and then go for huge yards and ran for a touchdown. And he was doing it every single time for first down yardage or big plays. The big change in the second half, that play got completely shut down, as well as the running back. Total difference in the defensive line, defensive stance, and it was the big difference in the game.
What was CSP able to do offensively to get them back in?
They were moving the ball all day, right? Hinsdale had a great day. He was throwing the ball all over the place. In fact, I was shocked how much he threw the ball in the cold, in the elements, and everything that was out there. And a lot of times he would have had even more yardage, but there were some big drop balls that had happened. But Hinsdale threw a couple that were dead right on in people's hands, and unfortunately there were just drops.
Oh.
Moore was huge in the first half. In fact, Hinsdale had 60-something yards in the first half with two touchdowns. Of the 67 yards, 57 yards went to Barmore in both touchdowns.
What a surprise that is.
You know, and then in the second half, though, Swabak came on huge. The running game came on huge. And then with 9 minutes left in the game, CSP scores down by one. They go for the two-point conversion, converts a two-point conversion on the Wildcat to John Swabak, and boom, he runs it into the right side for a touchdown, and that's the difference of the game.
Cool. I love it.
Tom, if I remember right, when I saw, because I saw part of the first half, they're really using Barmore a lot more this year, you know, running the ball, especially throwing it to him. What did you make of his performance, especially early on?
So early on, his performance was great offensively, and I totally agree with you, Francis. Not only is they passing the ball to him, but they use him in the run game. Like, he's considered a running back at times and will literally run the ball out of the backfield. So he's playing multiple positions out on the field offensively. What I think the difference and the unsung part of his game this weekend was on the defensive side.
Thank you.
Tackles from the defensive end standpoint, and was really big defensively and came up to help that team out.
So he moved him all. What was it? They said they moved him to the middle. Was it like a middle linebacker, or was it more of a nose guard?
No, it seemed to be more of a defensive end is where it was.
Because according to the paper this morning, or in the article I read on the line last night, they switched him defensively from his end position. All it says is to the middle. It didn't elaborate. And I just, you know, you see this guy, he looks like a pencil out there. As good as he is athletically, he looks like he should be nowhere near the trench.
Well, 6'5", it will tell you that right there. But but remember when I told you that was what was big from the first half to the second half, was how the defensive line held their grounds, especially against that one play. So that was what the big thing that needed to happen was, you had to hold your gaps and hold your spot when they ran this play. And that was the big difference first half to second half, and the reason why they were able to stop that run game.
Yeah, you fill the gaps and there's nowhere to go. Don't over pursue, hold your spot, and they have nowhere to go. I love it. I absolutely love it. Tom, what could you tell us about today's games?
So there's going to be some big matchups today, no doubt about it. We've got Maritime and Southwestern. I like Southwestern's matchup versus Susquehanna Valley. I think Maritime's going to have a real tough matchup with Chenango Forks.
Oh, they're a thorn in our side, Tom.
Oh, are you kidding? They get their mail at the West
That's
semifinals every year.
That's a program. Mike Baggerman in our news department went there, and he's smiling. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, but I'll tell you this. Special teams is going to come into play. We know what Addison Copeland can do on that special teams. They kick the ball to him, and they let him do what he can do. They can make it a game.
But in you've talked and told us so many times about Maritime's ability to have so many different guys carry the ball. Is that something that they will be able to use to their advantage, keeping the defense off balance?
You would hope so, because when they go into their three running back set, they can run any one of them out of that three running back set. So you would think that it is tough to defend them, because even when they're going to do the same exact set every time and run multiple plays off of it, you would think it's still hard to prepare for, and will you be fully prepared until you actually see it in game?
So this is going to come down to the trenches. How well are they able to block?
No doubt. In fact, Tony, I hear you say that almost every game that I call or talk to you guys. I look at the trench play right away. That's the first thing I look at when we start a game, because in high school football, it could really determine what team's going to come out on top.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple of offensive linemen in studio right now. We're going to get their point of view. They're smiling. Yeah, you're right. Offensive line is very important.
Tom, quick question. Southwestern game, is that a noon start or an 11 o'clock start? We've had conflicting reports.
Noon start. Noon 3-6.
Okay, because the one in the program, the Section 6 program from last weekend, they have actually 11, 3-7 is starting time. So it's definitely noon, 3-6. 6 o'clock being the Maritime game.
No, 6 o'clock being the Double-A game.
Oh, so, okay. Noon and 3.
That clears that up.
Well, no, noon and 3 for our locals. That's the one I was concerned about.
Sure. And then you have Canisius playing for the Catholic State Championship in West Seneca. Is that 1 o'clock kickoff?
1 o'clock.
And they're going up against, the number one ranked team in the state. So you would have to look at, all right, looking at that they would be the underdog, but they were also the underdog against St. Francis and
St. Joe's.
At St. Joe's. And it's like, are they peaking? Are they learning to win? Mind you, it's a young team.
That was the thing all year. We noticed that they were a young team. You know, they had a sophomore quarterback who had won a three-way battle, so not a ton of reps. And he had some young wideouts. Their strength was on the line. But even in that Joe's game, you could tell that they were very young, that first Joe's game. But you knew that they were going to get better. And as the year went on, you know, they, you know, gave a game to St. Francis just like Joe's did. And then, to be honest, it did upset. I thought it was an upset that Canisius won, but it wasn't too much of an upset. You could tell that they were getting better all season long, this young team. Because remember, they started out facing like really top-tier teams, out-of-state programs, and they just kind of built on that throughout the season. And it's going to be tough for them today, but it wouldn't be the...
But the fact that they're at home gives you a little bit of added confidence, and it's like, okay, we're in our backyard, so maybe that can play into effect and, you know, and help them. Plus, you throw in the fact they got a great coaching staff, and they know what adjustments to make. You know, good luck to Canisius today.
And I know they were the real deal. I believe it was week 3. They did a number on Maritime. That was the only blemish on Maritime's record all year, and it wasn't a close game at all, you know. Some ridiculous margin of victory, and as the saying goes, but it wasn't as close as the score would indicate.
Well, Tom, you're going to have a busy day. Have a good one. Knock it out of the park for us, and enjoy your day.
Hey, before I go,
sure,
just let you know, the alma mater, Cornwall, back to the state championship, and I'll get a chance.
You're beaming, aren't you?
They're going to play Carthage now, who beat Canandaigua last night, the team that beat South Park.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Roger wanted to find that out. All right, Tom, we'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Tom Prince, WNY Athletics, calling in and giving us an update on today's games. All right, we're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, Coach Joey Licata is going to call in, and we have four of his players in studio. We're going to talk about and congratulate Bishop Tymon on winning their championship. All that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Inside High School Sports. I'm Tony Caligiuri along with Francis Beck from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here, and we are joined by Bishop Tyman Football, and we have Coach Joe Licata on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, my pleasure. My absolute pleasure. This is a great opportunity for us to get to talk about your team. Congratulations on your championship. We spoke to you before the season started when we were doing a season preview and talked to you about the turnaround at Tyman. You resurrected the program. You've breathed new life into the program. How rewarding is it to pull off a championship?
Well, it's just a testament to the guys in the room right there that you have with you. That senior class was a special group. They stuck it out. It was tough 3 years ago. You know, the program was, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding it, but those guys really stuck together and pulled off something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives and that the Tyman community will remember for the rest of their lives.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about the championship game. You guys beat St. Mary's 28-26.
Yeah, it was actually 28-26 at half. We ended up 36-32. It was an awesome game. I was back and forth in the first half. It was like watching basketball on turf in that first half. They have a great running back. They're very well coached over there. We had a tough time with that with their running back, Jaquan Manuel. But our offensive line dominated the game, and that's why we won the game, was behind those big dogs up front.
Well, we had a lot of smiling going on in here a little while ago. Tom Prince was talking about line play and how important it is, and your two big guys had grins from ear to ear.
Yeah, I mean, we start five senior offensive linemen. Those guys have been together for 3 years and have played extremely well. And, we won the game by dominating the line of scrimmage, and that's, like you guys were talking about earlier, I mean, that's majority of the time, that's how you win football games, is with the big guys up front. And those five guys really bought into our offensive schemes and perfected them, and we had the most trust in them. They'd come off the sideline and we'd ask them what they liked against certain looks, and we trust them and we went with them. So not only are they really physical and good football players, but they're really smart. And we were able to trust them and get behind those guys and pull off a victory because of them.
Joe, when we talked before the season, you said that winning the Class B title, Monsignor Martin, wasn't necessarily the measuring stick of how you decide what would make this season successful. So, in your mind, was this season successful for Tyman?
Absolutely. Championship aside, the adversity that this group of young men have faced with the passing of their classmate and teammate Paul Humphrey, the way that they stuck together throughout this entire process and used football as almost as a crutch to lean on and to compete and wear that helmet with pride, it was something that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. I mean, it was a really, really special season. I know the guys are probably laughing at me right now for that word.
They are.
This is special.
They are. I mean, but that's the only word to describe it as special. It really was.
Raj.
Good morning, grandson of Kensington graduate and nephew of many other of my close buddies.
Yes.
Joey, I just got to say it real quick, and I digress, but we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it. 27 days. Are you counting? 27 days till Starpoint versus Tymon.
I know. I know. They're over at a scrimmage right now. They're scrimmage against Niagara Falls. I was talking to my sister. My sister's helping out, too. She's my dad's assistant, so that'll be an interesting dynamic.
When you say your sister, you're not talking about the young sister, are you?
Grace, yeah, Grace.
Oh, my. Gracie Licata, yeah. An assistant basketball. Oh, come on.
Gil told me about that.
Wow. I remember when she was playing JV at Will South. You got to be kidding me.
Wait, now, didn't you guys have a three-point contest, like in the driveway or something like that?
You're not supposed to mention that. Joey lost. You're not supposed to mention that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Joe. By the way, I'm getting text messages from the Starpoint coach. He's talking trash.
All right, we better get back to football.
Yeah, we better get back. Now, Joe, I don't know. You know, we've been talking about the last couple of weeks about the proposed ban on tackle football and the ripple effect it would have. Now, being that, you know, Bishop Tymon, you're growing your numbers, but schools like yours and Cardinal O'Hara and several of the small public schools could be in danger if this is taken away, just of the fact that how many kids would no longer come out for football.
Right. I think we talked about this before the season started was, I love youth football. But at the same time, if coaches at the youth level aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, which, Tony, you know this, a lot of them aren't.
Yes, that's true. There are leagues out there, and I just want to let people know that there are leagues that they don't go by USA football standards. We go, NASA, who I'm a member of, we use USA's Heads Up program. So all of the stuff that we do is in conjunction with their teachings and their guidance. And, I know from our league, the game has never been safer. But there are fly-by-night leagues that pop up every year. Some guy, he's put together a team. He wants to go and travel all over the place, and they don't. They're not putting safety first. And I think what we need to do, rather than banning the game, is finding a way to put everybody under one roof so that we make sure everybody goes by the same guidelines.
I agree. And what I was about to say was that we get some of these kids who are being taught the wrong way for 6 years prior to getting to high school. So we have to break them down and then reteach everything. And they're so far behind where, in some cases, I'd rather a kid who's never played before but is a physical kid who you can mold and teach as a freshman rather than somebody who's been taught by somebody who doesn't know football but they're just doing it just to be out there. So, Tony, what you said is great. If everybody at the youth level was under that same umbrella and was teaching it the right way, I would love it.
Well, I know that coming up in Binghamton, there's going to be a big conference, and many of the leagues, including NASA, participating. Pop Warner's going to be there, and they're going to try to put together a coalition. They're going to try to put, because their whole thing is safety first, and they want to put everybody under the same umbrella. So that's coming up, I believe, next Tuesday in Binghamton. So hopefully some good comes out of it, and hopefully we could put an end to this ban, because there are going to be a ripple effect where kids are not going to come out and play. All right, let's get into talking with some of the kids. And our first one here is Brandon Lowry. He's a defensive end, running back. And Joe, when you sent me this, I this is like the first question I had to come up with. Snacks. That's my kind of nickname. Get up close to the mic.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the nickname Snacks?
I used to be real chubby. And I'm still chubby now, but it's like I used to be real fat, and that's how I got. I used to eat a lot, and still do, but I mean, like, that's
you look like you're in good shape, so I don't think you could go by there.
Well, he can't be too small, Anthony, if he's also a defensive end. Did you say defensive end?
Yeah.
A defensive end and a running back. That's an odd combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, heart and soul.
Better than Khalil Mack.
Sir. Joe, tell us a little bit about Brandon.
He's really the heartbeat of our team. He's the kid that's always got high energy. We played him at linebacker a little bit last year, and then his natural position is really defensive end on the defensive side of the ball. He was awesome. He's a two-year captain for us. And then he played a little bit of running back for us, a little bit of fullback for us. And Yeah, ask him about how the game ended the other day.
Well, it says something about a botched exchange. And what did Coach Licata say to you?
He asked me, he looked at me. I was down because me and JJ just had a miscommunication. We fumbled, and he said, "Oh man, if I put the ball in your hands, can I trust you to take us home?" And then I was like, "Yeah." And then came down to 3rd and 12, like 3rd and 8. I remember was Fred diving on my ankles, a little fake hurdle, spin move, and then got outside 1st down, sealed the game. So it was special. I felt like a hero.
Yeah. Way to put the trust in him, Coach.
Absolutely, that's my guy. He was awesome. We ran. I think St. Mary's knew what play we were going to run. We had our two big guys pulling in front of snacks, and he made one guy miss. Got the first down. We sealed the game. Took a knee to win it, and that was it.
Now we also have number 25, Tommy English, linebacker, wide receiver. What could you tell us about him?
Oh, Tommy's a hockey player growing up, and then we got him to come out to play football the last 2 years. All of his uncles played at Tymon. He's a Tymon guy through and through, but one of those kids that would do anything you asked him to do on the football field. He was awesome, awesome leader, great
Tommy Edelman
player, and caught the game-sealing touchdown, too.
Now, Tommy, let's see. Yeah, you got the game-winning touchdown. What was the call?
Yellow 7. It's a Billy throwback.
What's a Billy throwback, Coach?
Well,
I got a good idea. Well, because I'm looking at the
notes. You're giving away his playbook, Anthony. Can't you work around that?
Roger, you know this. I mean, you go back to 2009, 2010, Williamsville South Billies. You see a lot of highlights of a guy rolling all the way right and throwing it all the way back left. Coach Krasanski always called it the Billy throwback, so we put it in special for this week, and we lined up in a bunch formation to the left side. Our quarterback's a lefty. He rolled all the way left. Tommy snuck out the left side and hit that back corner of the end zone on the right side, and he was wide open. Nobody was there, and Tommy, you can ask him. That's a tough catch to make, but he caught it, and we won the game.
Does your quarterback throw right-handed or left-handed?
He's a lefty.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're rolling to the left and throwing over it, but all right, I'll give you a pass on that one, Coach.
Tommy, outside of winning the championship, what would you say is a highlight for you during the year?
You know, just all of us coming together over the year, bonding over the year, and just having success. Like, the championship was big for us, so just spending time with the guys out on the field was fun.
What was the attitude in school after you guys won? A lot of congratulations, pats on the back, things like that?
Yeah, it wasn't just the football team that won, the whole school won. So it was a high energy on Monday, and just a lot of fun going around there.
You know, I realize how far this team has come in just 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just, Joey, it's a tribute to yourself, and we shouldn't be surprised since your sophomore year in high school, and we've been following you, and nothing surprises us anymore, and I don't think we can congratulate you enough.
You need to go to South Buffalo.
It's really all these.
Oh,
go to South Buffalo.
Oh, well, now we got geography coming into play here.
I have a lot of history with South Buffalo football. Ask your assistant coach, Joe.
I know. Coach Joya.
By the way, Tommy Joya hasn't aged a bit. I mean, is it possible for him to get older, or did somebody put him in like cryogenics and just freeze him?
Right.
All right, let's go to – well, no, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Todd Perkovich, and we're also going to talk with Luke McMahon, two of the big guys on the offensive line, and talk about that offensive line play. So we'll be back with more Inside High School Sports. But don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us after we're done at 11, and I guess tomorrow, all your Buffalo Bills action right here, WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One more segment of Inside High School Sports and then a Sports Talk Saturday. We are joined by Joey Licata.
Oh, hang on. You just do that.
And several of his players. We're going to talk with Todd Perkovich and Luke McMahon in a second. Francis, you did have a question for Joe before we get to talking to the big guys.
Yeah, Joe, Canisius is playing Cardinal Hayes today. I don't know if you saw the game between Canisius and St. Francis last week, but do you have any thoughts on how the A division kind of played out with Canisius kind of upsetting St. Francis?
Yeah, they did a nice job of upsetting Jake Ritz's rhythm on the defensive side of the ball. I think Ritz is probably the best quarterback in Western New York. And he's incredible. And I know I've talked to you guys about what my thoughts on Jerry Smith are already. I mean, I think he's the best coach in Western New York.
Yeah, outstanding, sure.
So, and he play calls very well for those guys. Him and Steve Otremba do a really nice job. And Canisius was able to just knock them off their rhythm. And Jake, I think, was coming off a little bit of a sickness, too. So Canisius did a really nice job. And on the other side of the ball, I've had a chance to get to know Tyler Baker the last few years, and he's done a really nice job within Canisius' offense, getting the ball to the playmakers and using his legs to make plays. And, you know, it was just a combo of all those things, and Canisius has some playmakers on the outside too. Yes, it was an upset. It was a little bit of a surprise, but you look at that Canisius team, they're pretty good. So it wasn't all that surprising.
And they're young. Do you think they're starting to, you know, and I brought this up earlier, that they're starting to come on as a team, starting to grow as young football players?
Yeah, definitely. And I think anytime you start a sophomore at quarterback, and there's a lot of sophomore skill players on that team, they grow together. And so I heard you guys talking about it earlier, are they peaking now? They are. You know, they upset Joe's, they upset Franny's. Those guys have grown into juniors and seniors, really. They're not sophomores anymore at this point in the season.
Yeah, you work with quarterbacks from with your Joe Licata football. How many of the quarterbacks that we're familiar with that you have worked with?
There's been a lot. I've had a chance to work with Ritz a little bit. I've worked with Tyler Baker for the last 3 years. A lot of them across Western New York I've had a chance to work with. That's been a fun ride getting to know these kids and hearing their stories and seeing any way I can help them out. It's been a really cool thing, cool way to give back.
What's the most difficult thing to teach a young quarterback? Is it footwork? Is it reading?
Yeah, it's definitely footwork and consistency in the pocket. They see guys on Sundays that are making plays that they shouldn't be studying off of, because those guys are different type of athletes. So it's kind of breaking everything down and getting back to the bare basics. It's the throwing the football, the mechanics of everything. Just hammering that in their heads and getting them to, you know, have muscle memory with that throwing, the throwing mechanics and their footwork.
For any young quarterbacks out there that are interested in getting together with you, how do they contact you, Joe?
I have a website. It's just joelicatafootball.com. And then I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, so they can reach out that way. Just search it. It's just Joe Licata Football, and we'll be starting a camp, I think, in the end of January. It'll start back up.
Awesome. As we said, we have your two big boys in studio, and we're going to talk with Todd Perkovich, first-team All-Catholic offensive lineman. He started for you guys for 3 years. He's a transfer from North Tonawanda, in fact. What could you tell us about Todd?
Todd, when he first got to Tymon, didn't really say too many words. Was very quiet, but worked really hard. And then as he kind of came into his own, he became an awesome leader for us. Was a 2-year captain for us, and you know, just the type of kid that you love to build a program around, because he works his butt off. And one of two offensive linemen this season to score a touchdown for the Tigers.
Whoa, how cool is that? Look at the smile. Todd, tell us about the touchdown.
Three, I guess, because Alex, yeah.
It was actually crazy, because it was in the championship game, and I was pulling. I think it was a trap play that we did. I was pulling for the defensive end. And
it was 43 trap.
Yeah, and we had a fullback in, and I saw him cross the goal line, and I thought that was our running back. So then I let down my guard a bit, and then the guy who was blocking got on our running back like right before he crossed the goal line, and then he ended up popping the ball out, and then I ended up falling on the ball. And it was just right there, right in my hands.
Your eyes turned like big saucers, like, oh, my God, look at that.
Yeah. Sounds like an illegal forward pass to me, Anthony.
Ooh, controversy.
Gonna go to the tape.
After further review, let's see. Todd, what did you tell? I mean, you know, offensive line play, we've talked about, and that's been the theme of the show and how important it is. You guys take pride in what you do, don't you?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a number one responsibility. It starts up front. It's what we, like, live by the whole season. It starts with us.
That feeling of when, when you're able to, you know, push aside somebody and you see your running back sprint for a long gain or a touchdown.
That's the best feeling ever. Just knowing that you're able to open the holes open, like, for your running back just to run right through and watching the big yardage gains. It's just an amazing feeling.
Okay, we got one other lineman we got to get to, Anthony.
Yep, we're going to talk with Luke McMahon, now number 77, first team, all-Catholic. That's another thing they're noticing, Coach Licata, is a lot of all-Catholics on your squad.
Yeah, we, like I said earlier, we really did have a special group. We had 10 first team all-Catholic guys, as well as the offensive and defensive player of the year in our conference.
And Luke, let's see, you're a three-year starter. Your father and your brothers played. You're the youngest of the McMahons to play. Mm-hmm. What's that like with the family tradition?
Well, the reason I came to Tymon was really because I went to games and saw my brothers playing. And, you know, that was important to me, going to games at Tift, seeing them playing, and I wanted to be the next in that line. So,
do they give you advice or a lot of talking up? You know, hey, you got to keep up family tradition here. When I played, I scored 76 touchdowns in one game. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, my oldest brother played D3 football at U of R, so you know he went through all this. You know, hopefully I could play college football someday. He's trying to guide me through that, and so you know. It's nice to have them there with me.
Joe, what could you tell us about him?
Luke's awesome. He is the type of kid that puts his head down and gets to work, but also the kid that I can trust in any situation. I get the pulse of the team from Luke. He's always honest with me. He's the main guy I go to and say, what do you like in this situation? And I trust him because – I know he's put the work in, he studied, I know he cares about it, and he's got so much pride in Tymon that, you know, you love to work hard and work hard for a kid like that because he's awesome.
What else would you expect from a South Buffalo guy, Tymon High School? It goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does. All right, Coach Joe, we only have a few more minutes left. We also have Angel Vasquez in studio. What could you tell us about Angel?
Angel's awesome. Angel is actually Todd's nephew.
Really?
Yeah, he's been with us for the last couple of years.
Uncle Todd?
Uncle Tater.
Has worked his butt off and been awesome for us, and has always just been a positive member of our team, and he's been great.
Angel, what are some highlights for you from this past season? Something that has stood out? No, don't laugh. Come on, get up here to the microphone. Don't be shy. I have a feeling we have somebody that does not want to talk. That's okay. He's got all of a sudden he's got you know, air fright. Joe, some of the things that things that have stood out for you this past year, you know, wins are nice and everything, but watching these kids grow has got to be one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. the way that they've matured and had to mature. But we mentioned it earlier with the passing of their teammate. You know, four of the guys in the studio right now had a chance to wear number two. You should ask them about that. What it was like to have the chance to wear number two.
What was that like, guys?
Sometimes you think about it a lot when you're playing. It gets overwhelming to wear that number two. But once you start to get in that groove, you know, you realize who you're doing it for, and it's really an honor to be able to wear the number two. Even like Todd and I were able to wear it as offensive linemen. You know, the league realized, you know, what was going on, and they let us wear it as number two. Snacks was actually the second teammate to wear number two this season against Akron at home.
So. And you have number two on your jersey, your shirt right now, and I'm sporting one as well that Joey gave me.
Nice.
Guys, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. Joe, thank you. Best of luck during basketball, especially when you play that powerhouse Star Point team and those two awesome coaches you're going to go up against.
I'll see you December 20th, Joe.
Awesome. See you then. Thank you guys for having us on. We appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure. All right. Sports Talk Saturday is following us. We'll talk to you next week with more Inside High School Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.